And I want us to go to Matthew chapter 18, starting with verse 21 through verse 35. And I want to show you that God will send a tormenting spirit to torment you. And they are the ones that make you sick. They're the ones that afflict you. They're the ones that make you have a terrible bad day. These are the beings that God uses to discipline His people and everybody else. Now let's go to verse 23 and 24. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his account up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. Actually, it's 3.8 billion. It was 10,000 talents in the King James, but it's about 3.8 billion. Now then, back in this day and time, 3.8 billion is a lot of money. It says, he couldn't pay, so the king ordered that he and his wife and his children and everything he had be sold to pay the debt. Here's something that's very important. You realize that this man, he is going to be sold, and then you notice his wife is going to be part of this, right? And then you notice his children. And then you notice everything he had be sold to pay the debt. So when I got a hold of this scripture, God is trying to say, if you owe me a sin debt, and you have an unforgiveness toward your spouse for anything, your husband, your wife, anybody, he says, I'm going to sell you and your wife and your children and every asset you have, and I'm going to pay it on the debt as far as it'll go. Are you beginning to understand why the Lord says, forgive them 490 times? People said, that's not what the way it is. That is the way it works. I've seen it many, many times. In fact, I'll tell you a story here that's so awesome. A Baptist deacon, his son, came to the Baptist church that I taught in as a Sunday school teacher for many years. He heard me teach some of these principles. He said, I've never heard these kind of things taught in my life. But he said, my dad is a Baptist deacon, and he has had cancer for the last 8 years. And he said, now then, they have given him all these chemo treatments and all these radiation treatments, and just recently, they've given him too much radiation. They burned a hole in his colon. He's now leaking to the inside of his body. And the doctor says he's only got a week or two left to live and it's over. I said, well, tell me about your daddy. Is he a good, loving, sweet man or what? He said, oh, Thurman, he's the best man I ever met in my life. I said, would your daddy hold an unforgiveness toward anybody? He said, absolutely not, nobody. I said, tell me about your mother. He said, Thurman, my mother is not sick. I said, that doesn't make any difference. When a man and a woman get married, the two become one. He says, my mother is a totally different story. He said, my mother holds a grudge against many people in our family. I said, she's the reason your daddy's dying. It's written. Who's going to pay the price? He, the man and the woman, the two became what?
One.
And now then, she's got an unforgiveness. It said, he's going to take account of all these debts. And now then, he has this unforgiveness. And so the Lord says, he's going to be sold. His wife's going to be sold. His children's going to be sold. His assets are going to be taken up. All of them. I said, your mother holding unforgiveness toward these people in the family is what's opened the door to the demonic world to kill your daddy with cancer. He says, well, what do I need to do? I said, take Mark 11, 25 and 26. But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you're holding a grudge against so that your Father in heaven will forgive you your sins also. That's just pretty hard to miss that, isn't it? And so he went and to his mother and told her that, Mom, you have to forgive these people. And he showed her those scriptures and she said, you're right. I know I need to forgive them. So she started calling them, asking them to forgive her and that she's going to walk in love with them. When they got that all taken care of in a couple of days, he come to me and said, we've got this accomplished, Thurman. Now, his dad's only a week or two from dying. He's hopeless. He's like 70 years old and with a hole burned in his colon, leaking fluid inside. And that's not good fluid, is it? I said, what I want you to do now, I want you to take your dad to the Baptist church where he's been a deacon and going to, and I want you all to use this promise in James 5, 14, 15. So I said, this is a guarantee from God to heal anybody. Now, I want to show you this scripture. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, does that sound very difficult? If I can find an elder. Okay, so we'll find an elder And let's put some oil on you and let's just anoint you all over and pray the prayer of faith. Can we do that? That don't sound hard if you can find an elder, right? And you got to find one that believes. You can't find one of them that says, God, if it be your will, please, Lord, will you heal this girl? You see her pushing me away. She don't want nothing to do with a man like that. You know it ain't going to work, is it? You know that God requires faith. And it says, and their prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make them well, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. So I told this man, I said, you take your daddy to your Baptist church, and you tell that pastor to read that verse right there several times, and then call three or four or five of his deacons in, and all of them read that verse. Now, if you read this verse out loud a half a dozen or 10 or 12 times, you're going to have trouble believing that God don't want to heal you, right? Because faith comes by what?
Hearing
the word. It says, and their prayer offered in faith, does it say it might? It says it will. It will heal the sick, and the Lord, who?
The Lord.
The Lord. So we're not dealing with just anybody. We're dealing with the Lord here. And the Lord will make them well, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Is that pretty awesome? So I told this man, go get your dad, have him read that scripture several times out loud, and then take him down to your dad's Baptist church. And he said, Thurman, will you go pray too? I said, no, I don't want to have nothing to do with this. I said, I've told y'all what to do, and I want y'all to find out. You don't need Thurman Scrivener. Thurman Scrivener's not the healer. Y'all know that? All I do is teach his word. Absolute Jesus is the healer. I mean, I am just a messenger boy that he sent to teach you the principles of the kingdom. And all I can do is pray the prayer of faith for you. And when I do, then Jesus can do the rest. And I love praying the prayer of faith for people. Don't you?
Amen.
I love seeing God show up whenever I pray the prayer of faith for somebody. I love it. And man, he's done it for me a lot of times in my life. And I am so grateful. And several of you in this room here today have been healed right here through this ministry. I can just start counting you. There's all over the place, people all over the place here that's been healed by coming to this ministry. And that's why some of you come back and bring your friends, you know, because you know Jesus shows up here. I love it. So anyway, they went down and he got several deacons and the pastor, and they all went down there and they anointed him with oil according to James 5:14. And I told the man, I said, now you make sure they don't use that word, if it be your will. And so he made sure they prayed in faith. It didn't say praying in unbelief, did it? It says praying in faith, nothing wavering. So they prayed for him. And about two or three days later, the man came to see me and he said, Thurman, we did that. And said, today I just took my dad to the doctor and that hole in his colon has completely sealed up. He's not leaking inside. He's clean. Everything's perfect. The man lived about 15 more years and then finally died at about 85 years old. Now, isn't that something? He was supposed to die, he told me, a week to 2 weeks, maybe. But within that five-day period, we got all this done, the unforgiveness taken care of, and the prayer of faith done by a Baptist preacher, two or three or four of his deacons, and the sin taken care of, the unforgiveness with his wife. And his wife had unforgiveness toward family members. And somebody, after she got healed, the son came to me and said, Thurman, why in the world did the demons of hell attack daddy instead of mother? She's the one who had the sin. I said, because they know that they have legal right to the entire family. I said, as long as they have legal right to the entire family, they start out with the most spiritual person in the family, which was the dad. They kill him first. I said, then if you got any spiritual children, they'll kill them next. And then finally, they'll take out the mother. I said, the whole family will wind up dying or be sick and afflicted because of unforgiveness. Now you're beginning to understand why God says, forgive 490 times? Can you see that? I mean, if you had any idea that your unforgiveness towards someone even had the remotest possibility that your spouse was going to get sick or die, or your children or your grandchildren were going to die with some kind of terrible sickness and disease, I would hope that you could forgive everybody from your heart for everything. That's what that scripture taught. Let's go back to that where we were there in the scripture in Matthew 18. So he couldn't pay. The king ordered him, his wife, his children, and everything he had to be sold to pay the debt. But the man fell down before the king and begged him, oh, sir, be patient with me and I will pay you all. Now, does that sound like our king whenever we have a sin? When we really have a sin and we bow down, oh, Lord, forgive me. What does he do? He forgives us. Isn't he awesome? He's so awesome. You know, I mean, his love for us, it's beyond imaginable. Then the king was filled with pity for him, and he released him and forgave his debt. So if you come to the Lord and you have this terrible debt, whatever the sin is, so all kinds of people, they'll commit an abortion or whatever. And I say, have you repented of that? I've repented for that 500 times. Well, you only need to repent once. You don't need to repent 500 times. You know, whatever the sin is, you just need to forgive it one time, right? And it's done. You know, you don't need to keep saying, oh, God, I'm sorry I killed this child. I remember when I was a, quote, spiritual person, not very spiritual, but I was a Sunday school teacher in a Baptist church, and I knew virtually nothing. I mean, I was flying back in those days. I was an airline pilot, and we were based up in New York for a little while. And one of the men there, which was in that same group with me, him and his wife had four children, and she got pregnant the fifth time. And they just didn't want five children. So he came to me. I'm the only spiritual man he ever heard talk about God's Word. And he was a Christian too, him and his wife both. And they come and sat down with me and asked me if I thought it would be okay if they aborted this child. Well, I mean, back in those days, I was stupid. You know, I really was. I didn't know. So I said, now, I guess, you know, that it wouldn't be that terrible. You know, if you don't want it, you know, I guess it would be okay to have an abortion. And they did. They had an abortion. And then later I found out what I'd done. It took me several years to get a hold of the fact that we killed a human being. I was an accomplice to a murder. How do you think that made me feel? It made me feel awful when I found out I'm responsible for killing a little baby. And my say-so, they did it. So I went to God and I said, Lord, I'm so sorry. Lord, I didn't know. Please forgive me. Do you think he forgave me?
Yes.
Yeah. Then why did I ask him every time I thought about it? Lord, I'm so sorry. I was so stupid because I didn't realize he had forgiven me the first time. But I finally got a hold of it one day. I'm forgiven. I only had to ask one time. You know what my greatest enemy is? This piece of flesh that I live in.
You have been listening to Thurman Scrivener of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop our program here for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled So Important to Forgive Everyone, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's area code 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.